This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 27th, episode 1092. Good morning, Horse World!
Big Wednesday, the day you face your own biggest challenge, the day you risk it all, the day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride!
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cutting this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way. So I pick up my guitar and I write a song. Everybody hears and they sing along. Hey, hey.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us here at Horses in the Morning, and we hope everybody in the Northeast is well. I have not heard from Helena yet this morning. She was posting videos yesterday on the Stable Scoop Facebook page of her place. Now, she lives in Rhode Island about a mile from the ocean, so yeah. She got it pretty good yesterday. I have a friend that lives in central Massachusetts. He had 33 inches and with about 5-foot drifts. And along the coast where we used to live, Beverly, Plymouth area, they had some massive flooding, and Martha's Vineyard and Nantucket were without power. And New York may have missed it, but Massachusetts and Maine up that way, they definitely got hammered with flooding and everything else. So we're wishing the best to everybody up there, and we're thinking about you. If it makes you feel better, it was almost freezing here this morning. It was like 34 degrees. So,
oh, my
in Florida,
gosh, how are you surviving? Oh, you poor
know.
Thing.
I
the
know.
Fire going.
Jennifer said that last night. She said, oh, and you know what? We have a fireplace, but we never had the guy to come out and check it since we moved in, and we just don't want to start a fire until it's checked. And she said, and I said, well, I've never had a check because we never really had a need to start a fire before. So,
yeah. Oh, so, you poor
anyway.
Thing.
I know. It's cold down here in Florida. But, so I'm waiting to hear back from Helena and see if she's without power or what the story is. But if you want to see her videos of her horses playing in the very deep drifts that went up to about the middle of their sides, you can check that out on the Stable Scoop Facebook page. It's funny to watch. And, we have a lot to talk about in today's show. So let's go right to Jennifer because we have to get into a conversation that started yesterday with Jamie and I off the air. So go ahead, Jennifer.
On today's Wacky Wednesday edition, we've got a horse health intercollegiate battle as Rutgers Equine Science Center with the winter feeding fact and fiction takes on the Cornell University Farrier Program, and they both vie for the title of most interesting, most thought-provoking, or most ew-worthy segment of the day. And on cleanup duty, the velvet voice of Horse and Country TV, Victoria Spicer, has the headlines from across the pond. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Daily Winnie time. I have a very special happy birthday to one of our very special listeners, Celeste Coulter. Happy birthday to you, Celeste. I know we know from Facebook that you've had a tough week with a lot going on. So we hope Ben treats you well today, takes you out to a nice dinner, and spoils you rotten. That's an order, Ben. So
yeah.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday to Celeste. She's very special to us. We got to spend some time with her last year at Rolex. So.
Happy birthday. My daily Winnie and my daily, let's say, wag of the finger daily Winnie goes to a company, which we all know, called GoDaddy. GoDaddy.com you know, they're gearing up for their Super Bowl commercials. Glenn, did you hear about this?
You mean Danica Patrick's finally going to be naked? Is that what you're saying?
No. They decided to do – sorry about that. Didn't mean to get you, you know, excited.
Got me all excited for nothing.
They decided to do commercials kind of making fun of the Budweiser commercials, and they decided to use a puppy for the commercials. And I finally found the link that still had the commercial on it, so I will try to post that on Facebook in a second. But the GoDaddy made a commercial featuring a bunch of puppies in the back of a truck, okay? The truck is driving down the road, hits a bump, and one of the puppies flies out of the back of the truck and then endures snow, sleet, rain, hell and high water to make its way back to the farm. It finally gets there. It's greeted with open arms. Oh, he's back. Come back. And then they look at their computer and they sold him online. So... Well, it's supposed to be funny and a take of using puppies. It's a little golden retriever puppy. They have had a massive backlash from people that love animals saying you're promoting puppy mills. I'm trying to read. There was petition started on the petition site to get this commercial pulled. And the reason GoDaddy actually gets my Daily Winnie is because they caved. They pulled it. The Super Bowl ad has been removed.
I don't get what was wrong with the ad. I'm missing why the ad was bad.
They're saying the ad promotes puppy mills and inhumane breeding practices. And like 25,000 people signed a petition to remove the ad altogether. So it has now officially been removed.
Every ad's ever done.
Well, it's really heartbreaking when you watch it, actually, as an animal lover. And you see it and you're like, oh, my God, it's so cute. And then, like, you get there and they, like, I guess they made the puppy website on GoDaddy.com. And they get, he worked so hard to get back to the farm and they're like, he's sold. Like,
you know, they probably would have been fine if they had made the puppy website to rescue the puppy. And then when they found the puppy, they just posted on the puppy website. They had found that this would have been a great ad. All they had to do was not sell it at the end.
If you pay close attention to the Clydesdale one, you'll notice in the wide angle shot of the place where we first meet the golden retriever puppies, the big, huge, very commercial-looking sign at the end of the driveway says Golden Retrievers or something like that, and then it says Adoptions underneath.
Yes. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. It says Puppy Adoption. See? GoDaddy
word now.
Yeah, they almost did it. They almost did it, but I just found it interesting. I clicked on several of them trying to actually find the ad, but it's been pulled even from a lot of different websites that were showing it. So I guess
last week GoDaddy was on the phone with Danica Patrick going, "Yep, you're naked this week. Get over here.
Yeah. Get over here. We got to shoot quick.
Landing.
Get the bikini out."
That's it. Should have been in advertising. So there you go. I'm posting it on Facebook right now.
All right. I hadn't heard that one. So, well, you know, Jamie and I, we don't talk much. We never talk off the air. I think we're good friends. You're one of my best friends and we've been doing this a long time. So when I actually get a call from Jamie in the middle of the day, I always panic because it's like, oh, no, what happened? Because we never talk, and we don't. I mean, we just don't. It's just we partly do that on purpose so that when we talk on the air, it's fresh, and we really are talking for the first time about a lot of this stuff. So yesterday you called me. Do you want to share with what's going on at Flyover Farm in Arizona?
Yeah. Well, you texted me, and I'm like, "This, I have too much to type. I'm just calling him." And then I called him. He's like, "Hello? Like, why are you calling me?" Well, and kind of rightfully so. I'm kind of dealing with a load here at the farm. And so a couple weeks ago, I didn't talk about this on the air because it was kind of pointless, but Joey, one of my horses, ended up having, one of my students was having a hard time bridling him, which is so weird, the little girl that leases him, and he's usually really good. So I started checking him out because horses never just all of a sudden decide they're not going to do something anymore. You guys know that. There's always some, there's a reason. So I started looking him over, and he's got a sore on his lip. And I thought, well, that's weird. So I called, you know me, I called the vet. And I'm like, there's something going on with this horse. They come out. I live in Arizona. They said it's a summer sore, a Hibernema sore. Very odd that it's showing up in the winter, but that kind of stuff happens when you live in Arizona. So they inject the summer sore. I deworm him. I'm supposed to deworm him like every 10 days for 4 weeks. And I got through about 2 weeks of it. And, you know, the sore's not any better. And so I started looking at the other horses to see if they had sores. Edward was kind of acting a little depressed when we got home from California. And so I started to think maybe, you know, he was tired from the trip and he's just not getting any better. So I started looking at his lips. He has two sores on his lips. I'm like, oh, crap. I started looking at everybody. The pony has sores underneath his gums. I lifted up his lip. And there's a huge ulcer underneath his lip. I go and I look at Duke. Duke's got a sore on his lip. Every one of my horses has a sore on their lip. So I'm like, holy crap. So I call the vet. I'm like, you guys need to get out here right now because this is potentially what's called vesicular stomatitis. Or VS, which is a really big problem. Not so much, you know, it's a virus that runs its course in your horses, but it also is very highly contagious, and they have to quarantine the facility. Well, I was just gone 2 weeks ago, whether or not he was carrying it. Anyway, so there's a potential that my horses have a highly contagious disease. So she's like, I'll be out first thing in the morning, because it was like 8 o'clock at night when I called her. So that night I can't sleep, so I get on the computer and I'm like looking at what VS sores look like. So I get online, I'm like, lip sores on horses. Thank God Google is around, because my God, you could find anything online. So I start looking at these pages, and lo and behold, the sores that are on my horse's lips look exactly like horses that have foxtail in their hay. So then I start Googling pictures of foxtail, and I go out to my hay, and holy crap, I have these little things in the hay, which my hay is a grass alfalfa mix, a grass mix alfalfa mix. It's great. The horses love it. Well, I thought what is young foxtail, if that's what it is, also looks like Bermuda when it's starting to bloom. So I never really thought anything of it. When I saw that in the hay, I just thought, oh, well, that's got to be like some Bermuda. I mean, not Bermuda, Timothy. You know, it looks like those little Timothy stalks.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been buying hay from this guy for 2 years, and I use him because the hay is so clean and not dirty, not full of dirt like Arizona hay tends to be. So I get the pieces. I call the vet. She's like, oh, my God, that looks like foxtail, but it also looks like VS. So, currently, you're under quarantine until the state vet can make his way out here. But also, it looks a lot. And so, she started examining all the horses in, like, you know, some, like, biohazard suits with a bunch of technicians that came out here and vet students. Because they're like, oh, this is interesting. Let's bring everybody.
Oh, this is fun. Something new.
Yeah, exactly. Vet students, unite. Come out. So, I have, like, you know, 20 people out here in biohazard suits looking at my horses. And holy crap. They don't just have sores on their lips. Their tongues have sores. Their gums are swollen. And I'm sorry, I looked, after Joey had it, I looked at them and nobody else had anything. I've been very diligent at looking at the horses because of Joey's thing and making sure. And then when I saw Edwards, I was like checking everybody. So just in the past like day or two, now 2 days, all the horses have come down with this. thing. And so they all have these huge, now what, when the vets lifted, opened their mouth and looked inside their mouth, these things have been there for a while, but not one horse has had a fever and not one horse has stopped eating, which both are symptoms for VS, which is to stop, go off your feed and to be depressed and to run a fever. No fevers, no depression. Not eating. So they have massive gaping ulcers inside their mouth, and my heart is breaking. I'm currently waiting for the VS test to come back, and if the VS test comes back, I am 99% sure that it's the hay. The vet took samples of the hay, my vet, and pictures of all the horses, and they went back to the clinic, and there's four veterinarians that work there, and check this out, Glenn. Four veterinarians, two think it's the hay, two think it's VS.
Of course.
I'm like, great. Thank you so very much. So what really sucks about it, I had to call Glenn and just vent yesterday because the vet had just left and I didn't have a chat. I was on a plane and I didn't have anybody to talk to, so I just had to call somebody and talk. What sucks is that this is not something that's brand new. I've had this hay for like 3 weeks. So this has been going on since Joey, if it's the hay. If it's not the hay, then I have a show next weekend. Yeah, I mean, I'm screwed. Like, this whole thing sucks. This whole thing sucks. And I feel terrible. My horses are miserable. Obviously, I'm not feeding them the hay anymore. But since they're all having such a hard time eating, I'm now went to the store and I bought hay pellets and I soaked them for 4 hours. I made some hay pellets last night and so they're soaking right now so I can feed the horses breakfast this morning. It's just heartbreaking when your horses are miserable and there's not one. There's six of them back there that all have this thing now. So I'm supposed to find out the results on Thursday or Friday. And I think the state vets are supposed to come out today. So I don't know, say a little prayer, whatever you do, just for horse health and happiness. And hopefully this resolves itself very quickly. But thanks for listening yesterday, Glenn. And she's like, you need to talk to Jennifer. And Jennifer's like, well, have you thought about this or this or this? And like, they're all like deadly diseases. I'm like, Jennifer, you do too many horse health reports. You're scaring me.
Well, obviously, I hope it's just the hay and we can get it resolved very quickly. And you need to go back to the hay guy if it is and make sure you get some replacement bales. And he knows not to sell this to everybody else.
Well, that's the thing is, like, you know, I mean, I'm going to be very, very, very upset and have providing some very large, because this is the second time I've called the vet out. And one exam for a horse is $75. And then she examined six horses. Yeah. Cha-ching. So he's going to be either giving me like free hay for a year of a different variety, but he also needs to know that this is in his hay because he sells a lot of hay to Scottsdale and he's a great dude. I'm sure he just doesn't know, but this is if it is Foxtail, it is a terrible, terrible thing to have in the hay. And apparently it's very common to have it in alfalfa fields. So it needs to be addressed, and you guys look out for it. Google it, whatever you need to do. This is, if it is the foxtail, it's terrible. I mean, it's awful. So the horses, it makes you want to cry. So thanks for listening.
Well, we're gonna go from that into I should have played this sooner, actually.
It's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report, when our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products.
Yes, that's right. We all do need bubble wrap. Wouldn't that be nice? But we've got Dr. Williams from Rutgers University. Good morning, Dr. Williams.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. You know, we have a lot of horses that are dealing with a lot of snow right now.
Oh, yeah.
How's the weather up by you guys?
Well, I will say we did dodge an extremely large bullet over the last 2 days. We were forecasted to get between 18 and 24 inches of snow in kind of southern and central New Jersey, and worse out east, and I think we got a grand total of about 5. So thank God. It could have been a heck of a lot worse. However, I know in the further northeast around Boston and northern New York and stuff, yeah, they did get walloped. I think they have about 2 to 3 feet. So,
And that leads us to what we're going to discuss today, which is winter feeding and winter feeding myths versus winter feeding facts. So where do we start with this?
I think the biggest thing that I need to clarify, and this goes both, you know, here's the myth, is that horses need, yes, they need to stay warm in the winter, so they need more grain to keep them warm. And that is the huge myth. The fact is they need more hay to keep them warm. And the reason why hay will help them stay warm is because hay is fermented in their hindgut. And the process of fermentation is what actually creates internal heat and will keep them warm, where the grain is actually digested in the stomach and the small intestine, and that does not create any heat. A lot of people think it does, but it doesn't. So most horses on average will require about 25% more hay in the cold winter months than they would throughout the summer months, and that's just to maintain their body weight.
So people that go, oh, I need to do, you know, certain varieties of the grain and mix it up and feed them several times a day, that is not true. You do not need to pour more grain to them. And is that potentially because also it takes a lot longer to chew and eat the hay?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, long stem hay is always ideal because they're constantly munching on it, constantly chewing on it. You know, they're not sitting bored in a stall or their running shed or wherever they're at in the winter. So, yes, that definitely does help. So I would say, you know, granted, a lot of horses are already on grain, but they shouldn't need any more of that in the winter than they normally would. It's the hay that needs to be increased, not the grain.
You mentioned the horses being cold. There's a cartoon that I've seen, and it's two horses standing out in the field in the snow, and there's one horse that's just standing there, and the other horse has like 20 blankets on. It's like piled up. It looks like the Michelin Man. It's got, and so the horse with no blanket goes, "Hey, what happened to you?" And the horse with all the blankets on it says, "My mom got cold."
Oh, yes.
I think that's a very common thing.
I have definitely seen that one, and that is a problem. I mean, a lot of people over-blanket because they are cold. Well, the thing is, you know, if left to nature, the horse, if it's accustomed to that particular climate, and that's the key, will grow a hair coat in order to accommodate the cold temperatures that are coming. So their really thick, really fuzzy hair coat is just adequate. And I know I grew up in northern Wisconsin, and I never bought a blanket, never had a blanket for any of my horses in northern Wisconsin. The first blanket I ever bought was when I moved here to New Jersey, and, you know, all the barn owners were saying I was abusing my horse because I didn't have a blanket, so I bought one. But yeah, if the horses are adapted to it, granted, you don't want to take a horse from Florida this time of year and move it to northern Wisconsin or even, you know, New Jersey or any colder climate and expect it to adapt. They will actually need a blanket then because they're not adapted to that cold weather.
I thought you were going to say that you moved from Wisconsin down to New Jersey and you grew a very fuzzy winter coat. This is the way that it was leading. It sounded funny. So you've got the horses. Do you prefer, I know we're going to talk about feeding myths, but do you prefer the horses, if the choice is in the stall or out in the snow, which is a better place for your horse?
I always like horses to be outside. You know, it's so much healthier out there just in terms of their breathing, any respiratory health. You know, anytime, you know, you start feeding more hay, and a lot of people feed more alfalfa with it, and then they close up their barn, well, any of the waste products that come from alfalfa has really high levels of ammonia. So you're closing up your barn with these horses that are you know, excreting a lot of ammonia because of the high hay diets and sometimes the high alfalfa diets. That's creating a lot more respiratory problems. So if you have a safe place outside with a three-sided shed, you know, it's always good to have some sort of either three-sided shed or other windbreak or wind barrier, they will do fine outside. I know a lot of people, especially on the East Coast, you know, they have day turnout and then at night they bring them in, and that's fine because that way they're at least able to get out, stretch their legs, breathe some fresh air once in a while as well. But outside is always better.
So, Dr. Williams, what is another feeding myth that people think about in the winter?
I think a good one is bran mashes. A lot of people feel that, you know, you have to give them this nice, warm, hot bran mash. And to tell you the truth, the only, and there is one benefit of those mashes, but actually it could be anything with added water. I know I was listening to you earlier saying that now you're soaking your horses' hay pellets with water so they can eat them easier. You know, even just a pellet with water will help them increase their water intake because a lot of horses, they don't like the really cold water, so they're going to decrease their water intake. Well, if you've already increased their hay, they actually should be increasing their water intake, not decreasing it. So if you have to provide some sort of feed with water in it to get them to increase their water intake, that's fine. But the actual bran or the actual ingredients in the bran mash aren't doing the horses any good. And actually, bran mash has an imbalance of minerals. So if you feed it quite often, it's actually more detrimental than good because of the imbalance of all the minerals in the bran.
I worked at a barn that they insisted that we make these hot bran mashes for all of their horses all winter long, every Sunday. And they had more horses at that facility colic on a regular basis. And so they thought, more bran mash. We need more. I'm like, people, what do you know? I mean, I was just an employee, but I tried to let them know, like, this can't be healthy, and the 15 supplements you're giving these horses and then closing them up in this barn is going to, you know, it was a recipe for disaster, and it was disastrous. So I totally can see that happening. Well, they're like, just cut up some carrots and put it in them.
Yeah.
I don't know if you learned why I'm giving hay pellets, but I either have an outbreak of BS at my facility or I have something in the hay, foxtail in the hay.
Yeah, I'm very sorry. That is a problem. That's a mess. I apologize, and good luck with it.
Thank you. My poor veterinarians are. I was like asking questions until the middle of the night. We should have talked to you about that because I've got a lot more questions about. You know, horses, people.
No problem.
Hello. Like, these are all things this morning. Good Lord. Okay, back to the feeding. So, no on the bran mashes. Now, what I've always done, and whether or not it's a good idea, I mean, I always thought it was a good idea, is to add some electrolytes into the feed on really cold days.
You can do that. Again, it's anything that's going to stimulate their drinking, and that's the theory behind that, because typically they're not losing electrolytes because they're not sweating. So, electrolytes are only lost when the horse is sweating. So obviously if it's cold and if, you know, it's super cold, typically everybody's not exercising them as much, they wouldn't need electrolytes. But what it does do, since electrolytes are mainly salt, is it's going to make them more thirsty and they're going to drink more water. So you can do that with an electrolyte supplement, or you can even just throw a tablespoon of pure white salt on top of the food as well, and that's going to do the same thing. So it's anything to just keep them drinking. Absolutely, it is a lot cheaper. And a lot of people don't realize that, the electrolytes aren't going anywhere in the body unless the horse is sweating. So that's the only time they actually need electrolytes. But, again, I know, some horses are really finicky drinkers, and that does help. But, again, it's just the salt and the electrolytes. That's the main thing there.
Yeah, no, I know it seems like it would make them drink a little bit more and seems to be working. So But ain't broke, you know. So do they need any extra fat or anything? Before we let you go, what else?
Yes.
Fat oils, corn oil, soybean oil, anything like that you recommend?
Well, I do know a lot of horses do tend to drop weight in the winter. And, you know, whether it's because you are giving them more hay, but the hay isn't great quality, or they're it's for one reason or another, you know, they're shivering too much, they're trying to thermoregulate, and they can't maintain their weight. And a lot of cases like this, I do say they could use, not more grain, don't do the more grain, but, yeah, add a fat supplement. You know, my favorite is the rice bran. You can add a pound or two of rice bran to their feed in the winter, and that really seems to help them keep their body weight up. It also helps their coat stay nice and shiny, even though in the winter that's, you know, typically not the case, but it will help them out. Some horses that might not like rice bran, you could add the oil, you know, a half cup or so, some corn oil or flax oil or, you know, whatever kind of oil is your favorite would help as well. And typically that's only if the horses really need just that little bit extra to keep their weight up. You know, in terms of any other supplements, I would say the only one to keep an eye out is if the hay is really poor quality and they're not getting much else, they might need a vitamin mineral supplement. Just because I know this time of year, you know, the hay sources start to get a little sparse and it might not be great, especially on the East Coast because it's so hard to make hay out here. You know, consider a vitamin mineral supplement just to balance what they're lacking in hay.
Okay, sounds good. I hope everybody has taken some notes, those of you that live in those ridiculous climates and places like New Jersey. And you're from northern Wisconsin? You're insane.
I am. I was 18 years of my life. My parents loved it up there, just about, you know, a half hour south of Lake Superior. So we were way up there in all the snow belt area. So I am not there now, and I will never be there now, and actually my parents are now in Florida. So they don't even want to be up there anymore.
So when you moved from Wisconsin to New Jersey, did you guys talk about going south? Is that what, I mean, like, you're like, oh, we're moving to the south, New Jersey.
I actually, no, because I really wanted to be south, like Florida south, but, you know, I had to settle here just based on where the jobs are because, you know, there's not a whole lot of jobs out there for equine nutritionists, especially at the university level. So I definitely had to go where the jobs are.
Rutgers didn't have a Florida extension. You need an Ocala extension down at, or Wellington
they,
even.
They do. University of Florida does have a great cooperative extension department. So anybody listening in Florida, you know, they've got people just like me down there as well. So
she's like, and if you have a job opening, let me give you my
job
email.
Exactly. Anything south, that would be great.
Dr. Williams, you've been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on. Give the website out again.
Oh, yes. Any information and all of our fact sheets and questions, et cetera, are at the Equine Science Center's website, and that's esc.rutgers.edu. And you can even find me and ask me a question if you can't find it on our website.
All right. Dr. Carrie Williams from Rutgers, thank you so much, and we look forward to talking to you again very soon.
No problem. Good luck with everything through the rest of this winter, and thank you for having me on.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
She's awesome.
Yeah, she's great. She's terrific. She's been on before. It's a lot of fun. You know, the Rutgers has been real good coming on a regular basis, filling in for the health report. And we know that people really do like the health reports on Wednesday. And we're going to continue that talk about health and feet. We're going to go to the feet now. And we're going to head over to, well, it's Rutgers to Cornell. Rutgers versus Cornell today. We're going to do that right after this word from Equestrian Collection. Glenn back with you, and I am with Debbie from Equestrian Collections with the Equestrian Collections Product of the Week. What do we have this week, Debbie?
Well, this week I'm featuring the Noble Outfitters Running Strong Belt in lady sizes. Now, every one of us out there has a million belts in our closet, but I'll bet you very few of us have this kind of belt in your closet. It is so unique and so cute. They have taken the design of a running martingale and made it into a belt, and it's not just a belt. It's a really quality leather This is, the belt is only an inch and a quarter wide at the widest point, which is just wide enough, but not too wide. And it's like a running martingale that goes around your waist and has buckles on it. It's just really unique, and I promise you, when you wear this belt out, your horse friends are going to say, "Oh, my God, where did you get that belt? That is so cool." I trust you, because I'll tell you that's the truth, because one of our employees came in with that belt, and that's pretty much what everybody said to her. So now we're selling them. So we've got that one and a couple of other Noble Outfitters belts that are just super unique and super cute. But this Running Strong belt is, it's just really something that you need to see. And it's only it's less than $50 for a really, really quality item. Noble Outfitters, one of our favorite vendors. They have great, great stuff. And kind of unique and really pretty. And this one fits the bill. Comes in brown and black as well. And there's a size chart on the site right there. So if you have any questions about large, medium, small, or extra small, or whatever, the size chart is right there beside the choose size and color drop down.
And, of course, you can find all the Noble Outfitters stuff there at Equestrian Collections. But if you're looking for this particular belt, which really does look like a running martingale, go to Noble Outfitters Running Strong Belt, and you'll find it there for $44.99, which is a really good price for a quality leather belt. Well, we continue in our health talk today. We head a little north of Rutgers University into New York, and we're going to be speaking to Steve Krause, who is head of Farrier Services at the Department of Clinical Sciences College of Veterinary Medicine at Cornell in New York. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, good morning.
Well, you know, we were just talking to Dr. Williams down there at Rutgers, and she said they missed most of the snow. How'd you guys make out up there at Cornell in New York?
Oh, we just got the tail end of it.
Oh, you guys missed it too, huh? Well, that's good.
Yeah, that's good.
You get enough of it. You don't need another blizzard to add to your collection.
Well, what we actually missing right now is we usually have a January thaw at some point, which we have not had.
But, yeah, and that ain't coming anytime soon from the weather I saw. You're going to be freezing for a little while here yet. You know, Florida is really a beautiful place. I just wanted to mention that, Steve. I know.
I actually used to spend part of my winters down in Florida. Then I took this job up here, so now I'm stuck.
You moved the wrong direction, Steve. You're supposed to get smarter as you get older. You know, that's the way it's supposed to go. I'm just saying. Now, let's talk about this. We're now going to head up to Cornell University and the University of Veterinary Medicine there. Is it common for first, we've always had this thing where this sort of rivalry between farriers and veterinarians, and we as consumers sometimes get stuck in the middle of that particular thing. And we've had situations, personally, Jennifer and I, where, you know, we've had issues with horses' feet, and we've had the farrier disagree with the vet and vice versa. Is it common for there to be farrier programs at veterinary schools?
No, actually, we're quite uncommon, and this is one of the most unique farrier programs in the country, if not the world. There's only a few other veterinary colleges that have a what we call a resident farrier that's part of the faculty. Some veterinary college have an outside contract farrier, whereas I'm, you know, on the faculty here and have a lot of say in what goes on and how this program is run. And what also makes us unique is that we are a farrier school at a veterinary college. So we actually teach non-Cornell students, you know, outside students to become farriers, as well as teach veterinary students a lot about the hoof and shoeing and get a respect for farriers and doing that. So it's a whole different way of doing things than most places go.
Okay, so we have somebody from a very large university here in the United States who deals with farriering, and I want you to tell me, you said hoof, right? I say hoof,
yes.
And my co-host, Jamie, has been giving me crap for this for 4 years. Is there a right way and a wrong way, or is that just a geographic thing?
I think it's just regional differences. We either talk about horses' feet or horses' hooves. Or an individual hoof. So I guess it's just more or less pronunciation differences around the country.
Jamie, take that, all these years to give me credit how I say it.
Excuse me, how did he say it, Glenn? Thank you very much.
Where are you originally from? Let's figure this out. Steve. Where are you originally?
Me, myself? I'm originally, actually, believe it or not, I'm from the Bronx, New York.
See, that's the problem. Yeah. See, that's why he's saying it wrong. See, that's
Glenn,
the.
I'm a transplanted New Yorker.
You're not British, Glenn. It's not hoof. It's hoof. It's hoof for everybody in the world that's not from Great Britain, okay? Listen, he said it right. You're wrong, Glenn.
Okay.
Move on.
We'll get off of
I can't believe you brought it up.
It's actually more important what's going on inside it than what we call it.
See? There you go.
Thank you,
Steve.
Not to me.
That.
This is war. This is war. You don't know. We've been doing this for years, Steve.
All right, Steve. Now, why is it? There's two things that surprised me when I started to learn more about veterinary medicine and talking to vets and what they actually learn at vet school. And there were two areas that they were really lacking in vet school. One was nutrition, and the second was the talk about horses' feet. Because, you know, more things and more problems result from problems in the feet than probably any other area of the horse. And even the traditional Chinese medicine doctors will say that. So why is it that there was so little taught up until today about horses' feet and about nutrition, for that matter?
Well, here's what's happened. If you go back, you know, our program is the oldest farrier program in the country. We just celebrated 100 years. And if you go back in our history of this program and prior to that, at the Veterinary College of Cornell, a tremendous amount was taught about the hooves and legs and shoeing problems. And the veterinary students actually had to spend time learning how to make therapeutic shoes and how to apply them, because there wasn't that many other things that you can do to help a horse that was being used for, you know, moving freight and people and delivering goods and all that, you know, 100 plus years ago. And as time has gone on, the advances in medicine has crowded that out to some degree. So there's a lot more things that veterinarians need to learn on how to deal with horses, colics, and metabolic diseases, and, you know, all these other medical things that the hoof and leg stuff has gotten crowded out to the point where only veterinary students that want to do equine track will get very much training in horse hooves and legs.
And so why has there always been this kind of contentiousness between the farriers and the vets?
Well, we don't have that here. In fact, we, you know, teach the veterinary students as well as the farrier students that, you know, we both have our skills and knowledge that we combine to help the horse. And sometimes when either farriers are poorly trained in therapeutic things, or when veterinarians don't have the training in farrier things and they're trying to do something out of the textbook that might sound right but not might apply to the horse, and the farrier who may have more practical experience may say, well, I don't agree with this. And the opposite can happen too with a farrier, you know, that's maybe not that well experienced. Just being able to shoe horses properly versus just nailing shoes on versus being able to do therapeutic work is different things. So it takes a lot of experience to understand how to apply any type of therapeutic type horseshoe. So if you have an inexperienced farrier going up against an experienced veterinarian that's sort of telling him what needs to be done, then there may be a clash of egos. Here we work as a team. The veterinarians do an excellent job of diagnosing lameness along with myself as part of that. And then they ask me what I think needs to be done. Then I assess the horse's conformation, foot type, and ask the owners, what's your expectations? What does this horse do for a living? And so we use all this information to come up with the right plan for the horse.
And so now, have there been any changes? You've been doing this quite a while. Are we seeing issues popping up now with the horse's feet that we have not seen so much before? Is anything changing there, or are we, you know what I'm asking?
The biggest thing that I see that has changed is what some of the breed registration industry has done in how they're selecting horses, and they tend to select horses more for what might please a judge in a show ring, which may not contribute to long-term health and soundness of hooves and legs. And so a lot of thinking is short-term, especially in some of the, you know, halter-type industry and so on. And so we are selecting for traits that make a horse popular in the show ring, but we're also tending to maybe do a little line breeding here and there. And so we're bringing out undesirable traits in the hooves and legs.
Yeah, we've discussed that before too. And you know, from what we understand, the pendulum's starting to swing back the other way a little bit. Let's hope so, because we've all ended up owning those quarter horses with the feet and having those issues. We have
right.
I have a relative with one right now that's always had issues because of that.
They've really hurt the breed that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So now, with your particular program there at Cornell, are the veterinary students required to take a farrier program?
The veterinary students, first-year students, no matter what they, you know, going to eventually do here, all have to take some basic lectures and labs with us. And then from there, they never have to see us again if they're not going to go into large animal type work. Then the veterinary students who are going into large animal work and going into equine oriented work, then not only do they have a whole bunch of lectures and labs that they're going to take here, but they can even elect to take 2 uninterrupted weeks with us and the farrier students. And then some of them even take the full course in their break time.
Very good. Well, you know, and of course, some countries, you know, as far as farrier programs, their licenses, and you know, they're a lot stricter than we are here in the United States. Is there any talk of going that route, making it making sure that farriers are well trained here?
There's talk, but it's very hard to get it. You know, Britain has the model, but it's a smaller country and very much more traditional. I'm a member of the American Farriers Association and have supported that organization for a very long time. And we developed a certification program that's a voluntary certification program that is administered by, you know, chapter groups of the association. And we use that not only to help, bring farriers past a minimum level of confidence with several steps above that, but also as a learning, a goal to learn how to pass the test in knowledge and in skill and performance. So that would be the model should there ever be licensing or anything. But at this point, the consumer and the horse is really not protected in any government way. And there's a lot of debate whether that would be a good thing or a bad thing, and it would not be something that could just be brought on very rapidly, because it would, it would cause a lot of problems to do that.
Yeah. Well, Steve, this has been good. What website? Is there a website people can find you at?
Yes, yes. We are at www.vet.cornell.edu/education/farrier. And we also have a Facebook page that just says Cornell Farrier Program, and anybody could go on that.
And you could probably Google that. And Jennifer will post a link to it also on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page as well. This has been very interesting, a very interesting morning of horse health here on Horses in the Morning. We appreciate you stopping by, Steve, and we're glad you missed the big one.
Okay, yeah, me too. Now we're just freezing now.
Yeah, right. All right, thanks, Steve.
All right, goodbye.
So there we go. I feel educated now. We went to college twice this morning.
I mean, you got to go to Cornell. I got to go to Rutgers. So it's pretty pretty good.
Either way, we're pretty
smarter.
Good. Yeah, that's true. We're pretty good either way. Well, let's take a break for our song today. And I actually had a request. I had a song request, Jamie, by email from a girl who's never contacted us before, listens every day. She said she listens on her way back and forth to work. Her name is Angelique, which I think is the prettiest name ever, and she lives in New Mexico, and she wants to hear Marianne Kennedy's Horses in Life. So After a commercial and a song, we'll be back. We have the European Report coming yet with Horse and Country TV. Plus, I have a tech pick of the week that Jamie agrees with. So we'll be back in just a minute.
Coach Jen here, host of the Horse Tip Daily Show on the Horse Radio Network. The way consumers interact with the brands they have trusted for years and those they are about to fall in love with for the first time is becoming more and more mobile, literally, and will continue to do so for the foreseeable future. Podcasts or internet radio shows like this one combine the new consumer preference for on-demand information and entertainment with the power of niche market audiences. Advertising on the Horse Radio Network podcasts allows you to reach the equestrian consumer using today's preferred on-demand delivery system. It's cost-effective and flexible, able to reinforce your existing marketing and social media strategies. To learn more about advertising on this show or any of the shows on the Horse Radio Network, contact us at 859-951-2022, or you can email us at glenn@horseradionetwork.com. That's Glenn with two N's at horseradionetwork.com. Come and join the Horse Radio Network family. You'll enjoy the ride.
Marianne Kennedy, Horses and Life, and thank you for that request from Angelique in New Mexico. We appreciate that. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings and Coach Jen in the producer chair. And we are here today thanks to Equestrian Collections. Well, I have a tech pick of the week, and it's something that I've used many times before, and we just never talked about it here in the show. And then when I put it in the show notes, Jamie said, oh, I use it all the time. It's a website called gethuman.com. That's G-E-T-H-U-M-A-N, gethuman.com. And what it helps you with is finding a human when you're trying to call, like, Verizon or your health insurance company or any company, really. You just put in the company's name, and it tells you how to get through the system to actually get a human. It'll tell you hit 6, hit 1, hit 3, hit 4, and then you'll have a human, or what to do that. It also gives you the different phone numbers for all of these different companies. And you said you've used this quite a bit. It really does save you time.
I was amazed, actually, because I kept trying to I cannot remember who I was calling. It was only a couple weeks ago. Toys R Us, because I got a package that I ordered from Toys R Us that never came. And so you call the Toys R Us switchboard, and they're like, press 6, you know, and I go, 6, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then I'm still never getting actually to talk to a human that if you have questions about our shipment. And then it's like, put on the shipping note. It was so annoying. So I went on to Get Human. I put Toys R Us in, and they gave you a number to push that wasn't even a selection on the main menu. And it was like, you know, the selections only went up to 5. They're like, push 6. So I pushed 6, and it's like, thank you for calling Toys R Us. How can I help you? I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. It's awesome. It's great. I think they're so sneaky. So I got everything sorted out, and I got a new package, and it was arrived by Christmas. And then about 2 weeks after Christmas, I got the last package.
The other one, yeah.
So now if anybody needs a Yo Gabba Gabba boombox that plays music, I have an extra one. So let me know.
You know, they have 8,000 companies in their listing, and they also, what they did, you know, it used to be just the phone numbers and the shortcuts. They would just give you phone numbers and shortcuts. This website started years ago. But now they have the companies that will give you a callback or a live chat and stuff like that. It really is a cool website, and it's free. It's easy to use. So check it out. It's called gethuman.com. And we all have those experiences where we have to try and get through to the guy who doesn't speak English in India. There you go. Gethuman.com.
Awesome. How do they make money? I just wonder.
I don't know. I don't know how they do it. There doesn't seem to be a lot of advertising on the website or anything. They do it. Hey, we have some news from the eventing world. Ballynoe Castle, who, of course, is ridden by a certain rider that is one of Jamie's favorite, Buck Davidson. It has now surpassed the next he has more eventing points with the United States Eventing Association than any other horse. He passed Winsome Adante, who was the leader up until this year, and it was, of course, Winsome Adante was ridden by the rider Kim Severson, and was owned by Plain Dealing Farm, and Kim rode that horse for many, many, many years and had led the points through time up until this point. You know, Kim won, I think it was gold medal at the World Equestrian Games in 2002 and silver medals at the Olympics and that kind of thing in 2004, and now Ballynoe Castle has surpassed Winsome Adante for all-time leader.
Yep. Reggie, well, you know what that tells me is that you've got Ballynoe Castle, who is Buck's horse. You've got Dan Winsome Adante, who is Kim's horse. Windfall 2 is Darren Chacha's horse. Courageous Comet, number 4, and that's Becky Holder. And then Gilt Edge was also a David O'Connor's horse. When you see these names and they have that many points, tells you how freaking sound they are, you know?
Yes.
Lots of horses can do 1 or 2 four stars, but to have an extended career, I mean, you've got horse McKinley's on there, which is our good friend, what's her name, what's his true word, McKinley? I'm freaking out.
Yes.
She's been on her show like a million times.
Gina Miles,
thank you.
Yes.
Hannigan, The Foreman, Dobbin, Antigua, which is Wolf Audrey's horse. My gosh, these horses, that just screams soundness right there. So I need to do a study and see which of these horses are off the track thoroughbreds and what bloodlines they have, because I would like to buy my next horse. Will be related.
If you want to see Ballynoe Castle this weekend trying to win $50,000 additional dollars, you can head to Wellington, because they're having the Wellington Eventing Showcase this weekend, sponsored by the Asheville Regional Airport down in Wellington. And it's one of those short format ones where the cross country is in like an overgrown arena. And it's a short format. What do they call them? They used to call them something else, and it has a new name now, but I call it short format. It's like a derby kind of thing. And that'll be happening. This is invitation only. So there's about 20 riders going to be there: Lainey Ashker, Jenny Brannigan, Buck Davidson with Ballynoe Castle, a host of the Eventing Radio Show. I just did the show with him last night. Joe Meyer will be there with Clip Clop. Allison Springer are all people that have been guests here before. Philip Dutton will be there. Clayton Fredericks. So
honorable mention to Clayton Fredericks. Clayton Fredericks, you see what his horse's name is? I think this is like the best name ever. Rendezvous with Charlie. I love that. That's a great name. I saw that.
The name you don't want for your event horse is other horses, True Dynamite. So I don't know if that's
Joe Meyer's horse's name. Joe Meyer has the coolest horses ever. Well, his last horse that had just like a normal human name, and his current horse, Joe Meyer, of course, in New Zealand, his horse's name is Clip Clop. That's awesome.
Well, if you want to hear, the Eventing Radio Show is out for this week. Joe Meyer was on there with Nate Chambers. It's the Nate and Joe show that's there on once a month, and they talked about the new, have you read the new frangible pin rule?
Started to, but it's a 21 penalties, and
yeah.
I don't know what's different about it than the before.
There wasn't that. I mean, and now basically, if you take out one of the jumps that has the frangible pins in cross country, you're pretty. I mean, you have 21 points. You might as well just go home. So it really is causing quite a stink and a controversy. Maybe that's something that when Victoria gets on here, we can chat with her about, because. There really is. They had a whole half an hour conversation on the show, and it really is something that blew up yesterday on Facebook in the eventing world and is now a big conversation. You know, you spend $500 to $1,000 to go to a show, and you tap a frangible pin jump a little too hard, and it comes down, and you're basically out of contention. It's something that is causing. And, you know, there are a lot of horses that, you know, do rub quite a few of the cross-country jumps, so.
I don't know. I still think it's good. I still think it's good. Oh, is that Victoria here? Is she ready?
Now it's time for the European Report with Horse and Country TV.
And that's right. We have Victoria Spicer from over there across the pond. Good morning, Victoria, or good afternoon to you.
Yes, good afternoon here, and good morning to you guys. I hope you're both well.
Yeah, things are okay right now, but you guys are heading to Hickstead very soon.
Well, it's a little while away, but there has been some news from Hickstead, which is that eventing is back on the agenda. Last year, they cancelled one of the most popular classes, the Eventing Grand Prix, which used to see event riders go head-to-head against show jumpers. So they'd jump a few coloured poles, and then they'd go off round cross-country, which would usually completely confuse the show jumping horses and cause havoc. And it was really popular. It's been going for a long time. And the TV company that covers the event changed the days they were filming, so it meant it wasn't going to be feasible. You'd have people sitting around the arena, and then suddenly the horse would disappear out into the country and nobody would know what was going on. So I'm pleased to say it's coming back this summer, though, and it's just going to be purely eventers, and it's not going to be inside the main international arena.
I can't imagine a show jumper being like, okay, we're leaving the arena and gallop around. I would imagine that it was quite spooky for them.
Definitely, and there was one horse, a very famous horse, Derby and been placed so many times. And he did it 1 year. And he jumped the sort of first big hedge out into the country and was quite happy. And then he came to the first water splash. And, of course, show jumpers are taught never to put a foot in the water. And he just was like, he didn't know what was going on and what it was all about. That year down at Hickstead, we coined the phrase the Hickstead shark, and we photoshopped the great white shark into the little stream to explain why this horse wouldn't go near the water, and you went quite far.
I can't jump the whole thing. I'll just stop. Well, that's great. I'm glad they're going to bring it back. I know it's a definite favorite for everybody over there. So you can get tickets for Hickstead, the whole show is on sale right now. You can find the link on horseandcountry.tv. Now, the next story is possibly one of the most heartbreaking things I have ever heard, and I hate to even talk about it, but it's something people, you know, are talking about and need to know about. So there's you go ahead and tell the story.
Yeah, it is a really sad story, and we do try and focus on positives in the horse world, but this one has really struck a chord with everyone. It actually happened last May. A rider was out on her little cob, and she was out for a hack, and some teenagers started throwing stones at them, which they obviously find highly entertaining. Unfortunately, the horse got badly frightened and took off, and the rider fell. And she seemed okay, but she was hospitalised. But a couple of days later, she basically had a head injury. And now we've caught up with the story, and the rider's been left paralysed, and she can't talk or swallow. And her, you know, she's still in her 20s, and she's a mother of I think two children. And it's just such a sad story.
She is unable to walk, speak, eat or drink, and has been in the hospital ever since last May. I can't even imagine, number one, how expensive that is. She has to be fed via a tube and communicates by typing on an iPad. Oh, this just breaks my heart.
I just realized the difference between America and Britain there, because we have the NHS, so I'd imagine it's not mounting up a vast bill. It's all kind of paid for by the state, thankfully. But and and riding is a dangerous sport, and we know that every time you get in the saddle and that you can fall. But here's this lady, and she's riding a cob. It's not some thoroughbred or fit competition horse. She's out there enjoying the countryside, but whatever type of horse it is, they are flight animals, and if somebody does something so reckless like throwing stones, they're going to gallop off at speed, and this is the result of what can happen.
Now they still have not found the guys who did this, the teenagers that thought this would be so funny to throw rocks. And, whether or not they're caught, they're going to get it. Someday it's going to come back. I can't even somebody's got to know something. And so are there any leads at all?
I think the police investigations are ongoing, but they haven't found anything yet. And it's such a difficult one, it's whether one of the group is going to hear about it, or perhaps, it's been in the national newspapers over here and when it happened, but perhaps they didn't know about it. Perhaps they just thought that was a funny day when they threw stones at horse and rider, and haven't a clue about the repercussions of what happened. And that's quite a scary thing to think, people like that could go and do something similar without having any idea of the devastation it can cause.
Ah, absolutely. Well, they had to have seen her fall off, so they knew it wasn't a good thing. Now, let's move on to something a little more fun, because that story just totally brought me to a halt. So talk to us about the Endurance Supreme Champion Trophy that was just awarded to a 15-year-old an Irish horse.
Youngest ever. Yeah, it's normally somebody middle-aged on an Arab horse, so it's a little bit different. But the youngest ever Supreme Champion, which is a trophy decided on points throughout the season. And yes, it went to a 15-year-old who'd just taken it up a few years ago. So if you fancy being a national champion in something, it's obviously the sport to try.
So What is the horse? So was it competing against Arabians?
I imagine it would have been all the different ones that did it. So I think it's great.
So a 15-year-old girl, Irish sport horse, and they won the riding title, and they just started. That is so cool. What a great thing. I'm trying to see if there was a quote from her.
Yeah, her name is Hannah Maskell. She also won the 2014 Young Rider National title. So she's, and Jimmy's the horse, the Irish sport horse. The Irish sport horses are what Wendy has and drives. So I'm familiar with them, and we've been around them a little bit. They really are cool horses.
Yeah, but they're not endurance horses.
No, they're not known for endurance. No, that is something. It just goes to show you that any horse can be an endurance horse with the right motivation, I guess, right? I mean, any breed can be.
Yeah.
We see them. Yeah. Not just Arabs anymore.
Indeed. And also nice because she came up. I mean, she did try it in Pony Club before she took it out properly in 2011. And you know, when I was in Pony Club 20 years ago, that seems quite a long time now. We did traditional things like eventing and show jumping and dressage, and we might occasionally get to try polo for a day. But now over here, it's so much more varied, and you can get into different sports, and there's things like pony racing, which has become incredibly popular over here, and it's nice to hear of a girl starting off in endurance in that way as well.
I'm watching your slow motion jumping video, which, oh my gosh, this is the most incredible thing. Tell everybody what this is. Holy crap.
It's very cool. We were sent it by the Royal Veterinary College, and they're doing research into motion in animals, various animals, including horses. And they thought we might be interested in seeing this clip. And we've the person who features in the video clips, we weren't sent any information, commented underneath saying, oh, that's me. And so we've been able to find out. I mean, I did think it looks like Burley, and it looks like Cottesmore Leap, which is a very famously huge fence, but I couldn't tell, and it's quite sort of distant black and white footage, so it wasn't obvious. But yes, it's this lady, Tracy Garside, and she is jumping this huge fence, and it's really cool to see in slow motion how the horse kind of starts to lengthen his stride and then gather, and then the shape he makes and the beautiful position of his rider over the fence. I think we could all learn from.
Absolutely, and the way that, like, I'm waiting for him to take off, waiting. I'm like, okay, don't get to put your feet down, and then, like, you see the power and thrust off the hocks, and I don't think I realized how much their front end is lifting before their back end even pushes off the ground. It's a real study, and yeah, she rides this amazing, and this is a monster fence, so... How cool! What a cool thing to have. I've watched it probably 25 times now. I just keep clicking, re-click. Oh, I'm like, every time I get nervous, I'm like, okay, she made it. It's only 25 seconds long, so we'll post a link to that on our Facebook page. Also, tell us about your video of the week.
Well, we've got a new show on at the moment, our Yard Talking Agency Masterclass series, which has been really popular. And this week we've had a premiere of a show starring Boyd Excel, who I'm sure you guys have heard of him. He's one world champion carriage driver. And he was based in Britain until a few weeks ago. He's moved across to the Netherlands now. But he is starring lots of clips on our website at the moment. And there's this one when he introduces his top horses. So it's quite nice to find out a little bit more about what makes a top driving horse.
Wow. I'm sure Glenn will be watching that like crazy, huh?
Yeah,
Glenn.
And Boyd's a good guy. He's... I met him at the World Equestrian Games in 2010 and got to do some interviews with him and stuff. And Boyd is the number one driver, in the world right now, and really has been. And he's quite a family man, too. Nice guy.
He has the best surname for being a sportsman.
Oh, yeah. Excel. Yeah,
you can always their best surname. And, it worked well with the whole Team XL thing.
Yeah.
With the pictures instead, I think it's cool.
It is. It is. My name is Jamie Champion, so start calling me that.
I could just be called Victorious, like one name, that's it, one word, no surname.
Oh, yeah, that'd work.
Victorious. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd work. Yeah, you could get away with that easy.
I think so. Let
so now, Victoria, before we let you go, have this whole frangible pin thing. You're an inventor, and it's been blowing up all over Facebook, and I know it's a conversation over there in England. Have you had any conversation about it with any of your compatriots?
It hasn't flagged up today on me. I don't know. Is this an FEI rule or a British inventing rule? Or have
it's
I just
FEI,
been...
actually. Oh, FEI, yeah.
I've been obviously working so hard, I haven't even noticed it properly.
Okay.
So, yes, I mean, I don't sort of know the latest update to the event, but I do know last year at badminton, there's a number of frangible pins that fell and some kind of debate over them. But I just have to say that I think they're an amazing invention. And, you know, it's there for the good of our sport. And when you see some of them fall last year at badminton, you're just relieved it's the poles that are falling and not the horses and riders. So I will have to go and investigate the debate in full.
Yep. Yep. All right. Very good. And if you want to learn more about that, just head over to eventingradioshow.com. The whole episode pretty much was on that that came out this morning. Well, thank you, Victoria.
My pleasure. I will speak to you next week.
All right. Take care. That's Victoria from horseandcountry.tv. I wish they'd get on the air over here already.
I know. I'm so sick of this. They get an entire, like, awesome horse channel like that, and we don't even get to see it. But, yeah, we get teased every week by this is what we have on our television station.
And I was just on the website, and up at the top there, they have their apps. And, of course, you can download their apps, but we can't watch anything because we're in the United States. Sorry, yeah. Horse and Country TV everywhere is not available in your country.
Yeah.
So that's what we get when we look at it. But I don't know if Canada gets it or not. I don't know. I don't know if they get it. I have to ask some of our Canadian listeners whether they can get Horse and Country TV. But a lot of their videos are on the website, and you can go watch them there. So that's not a problem. You can go check them out there. There's a new thing coming to the United States that's becoming very popular. The South Koreans are known for some wacky beauty things. You know, South Korean women get into some wacky beauty things. Well, and we've just had this discussion before about other stuff. Well, apparently now the newest thing for your skin and beauty is donkey milk and horse oil. They're the newest beauty trends making their way to the United States. Apparently, donkey milk contains almost 5 times more vitamin C than regular milk, and is said to improve skin elasticity. So you take this donkey milk, and I guess you just slather it all over your face, and then it helps your skin out. And now, horse oil, what is horse oil, by the way?
Okay, I Googled it before the show because I knew you didn't know what horse oil was.
I have no idea what horse oil is, no.
Horse oil that apparently the South Korean women are now spreading all over their face, which, by the way, my husband was stationed in South Korea, and their medicinal weirdness is second only to what they eat, which is disgusting. So, South Korean listeners, we love you. You're weird. Horse oil is fat. It's horse fat. And horse oil, they say it's high purity horse oil that it's extracted from fat, is deodorized and rich in unsaturated fatty acids and essential fatty acids. So basically, it's from dead horses. And they've removed, like, I guess, cellulite or fat from the horses and then spun it down and got, I don't know how the hell they do that, but it sounds awful and it's gross and it's probably very cruel. And it just seems to me like so many Asian countries just don't have the same regard for animals that we do. And I knew when you posted this, you had no idea it was from dead horses or you wouldn't be talking about it.
I was hoping it was, you know, something else. But, you know, it just caught my attention because you're right. We have seen the strange and, you know, plastic surgery, apparently, like in Japan and Korea, is just out of control. I mean, it's just totally out of control. It, you know, actually looking at this made me feel better because sometimes we here in the United States think we're the wackiest people in the world because of all this weird, stupid crap that we do. And then I look at these stories and I actually feel a little bit better about myself. So I'm just saying,
dude. Yeah, there's some massive weirdness. I'm not going to talk about what's in the vending machines in Japan, and I think it's Japan or China, one of those countries that is in the vending machines, but there's weirder countries than us. Let me just put it that way.
Well, I have a good story here for you. This is good. His name is Matt, and he's an amateur harness driver driving harness horses. Around the country, he travels all over the Northeast, New York, Pennsylvania, Florida, all over the East Coast of the United States. And he has been, he has a girlfriend, and he has been wanting to propose to his girlfriend. The problem is he wanted to do it in a very special way. Her name is Kim. He bought this ring a while back, and he's been carrying it around with him because he wanted to give it to her in the winner's circle after he won a race. He wanted to get down on his knee and propose. The problem is he kept traveling to all these places and not winning. Or he came in second, or he came in third, or the one time he did win at a race, she wasn't there that day. So he finally wins and she's not there. Well, good old Matt won finally the CKG Billings Amateur Driving Series $25,000 Gold Cup at Harris, Philadelphia on November 23rd. And while in the winner's circle, he dropped to one knee, pulled out the diamond, and slipped it onto his girlfriend Kim's finger. And they went from a girlfriend to fiancé in the winner's circle there. He had apparently been waiting months to get this done. He said, "I've been planning it for a while and finally got to do it there." And been traveling around. Can you imagine the pressure he put on himself to win races just because of this, especially when she was there?
Ugh. I can't even imagine having that. I love the article says that he had the engagement ring burning a hole in his pocket.
Carrying it around with him to every race. Going, damn it, I got to win something. And he's an amateur driver, so he's not a professional.
Not winning three a day, no.
That's determination, though. You got to give Matt credit, right? Determination. He had willpower. He wanted to do it, and he did it. And now, did you see the news about California Chrome?
I can't believe it's going to happen. It's not going to happen. There's no way that these country-ass people are going to send their horse to Dubai. I just can't imagine.
He was nominated for, along with Main Sequence and Bayern, was nominated for the Dubai World Cup. It's $10 million, though. I mean, that is kind of a big payoff. I don't know.
$10 million, it would be great for them to win that kind of money, but like I said, I just can't imagine Art Sherman with his big, you know, the kind of demure, quiet trainer, and then the outspoken cowboy hat owner over in Dubai. I just can't imagine. I just can't. They're never going to. I will predict right now it's not going to happen.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. I'm kind of agreeing with you. Now, I think Bayern or Main Sequence might head over. One of those two might head over.
Well, and I thought about that, too. Main Sequence is a turf horse, and they like running, and this is on the dirt. So you and California Chrome now, they like making him a turf horse as well. So you've got two horses that like to run on the grass. Bayern might be the only one that goes over there and probably, you know, could win it. But, you know, that's what I think, in my opinion. But what do I know?
Well, I think why don't we wrap it up here? You've had thank you, by the way, for joining us this morning with everything that's going on at the farm there. If you came in late in the show, you can go back and listen to the beginning of the show, and you'll hear what's going on with the barn full of horses at Flyover Farm. I knew your name. I was just, good luck with that, and let us know as soon as you know what the results of the state tests were there.
I will. I definitely will, and I'm going to be knee deep in probably the state veterinarians today. And I can't imagine. I just don't believe that's what it is. So I think it's the hay and it's good, whatever.
So if it is the hay, and what we're talking about is Jamie's horses all have sores in their mouths, extensive sores in their mouths, and we're thinking it might be. Might be something that was in the hay. What were you looking at? You were looking at
foxtail.
Foxtail. Is what's the treatment? They just have to wait for it to get better, or is there something
she said? She said that I can rinse their mouth out with saline water, which.
Well, that'll go well with some of them.
That'll go well. Exactly. Yeah. Salt water on the wounds in the mouth.
Yeah,
don't mind
good.
If I stick this big syringe up your mouth. And just take him off the hay and let it heal. There's really nothing else you can do.
You can't put bits in right now or anything. You can't ride these horses with.
I won't. I mean, I'm not putting bits in their mouth. They're, most of my horses can be ridden with we have what's like a little rope bosal, and that's how I start them all anyway. So they can be ridden, but Edward is just too depressed to ride. Joey. I used him in a lesson two nights ago, which is one of the reasons that we called the vet. Blood started coming out of his mouth. So I canceled all the lessons this week. And the little girl that leases Joey came out and she's like, can I just take him for a walk around the neighborhood? And I'm like, no, because you can't take him off the property. We're screwed. Just walk him around the yard, I guess. So we will, I'll definitely keep you guys posted. I'm surely stressed out about it. So as you well know, I had a beer yesterday at 11:30 a.m. Isn't that weird?
That's not good.
The vet left and I was like, I need a beer. I can't remember last time I drank a beer before 11:30 before nighttime. So anyway, yeah, that's the kind of day I had yesterday.
Well, good luck with all of that. We're thinking about you. We'll be back here tomorrow. Is Kim Baker episode, and we're doing a reading for one of our. She's doing a reading for one of our listeners again tomorrow morning, and she has some interesting guest book. We're going to be talking about dreams and what do your dreams mean. So she has an expert on dreams coming on. I love that kind of thing because I just think dreams are fascinating. So.
I dreamed last night that Chad was applying for a job at Walmart, but he was going to be the manager. So tell me what that means. I'm not kidding you.
I'm not sure what that means. I don't know if you want to know right now today.
But did he get the job at Walmart? That's what I want to know.
We didn't know, but he came outside, and I was like apparently outside smoking cigarettes.
Which we all know you do.
Yeah, right. And I'm outside. I remember, I was like, why am I smoking? I don't smoke. And so I
threw
the cigarettes
redneck out. We didn't know.
I know. I'm waiting for my fighter pilot husband to come out and find out if he got the manager job at Walmart. And he was like, I don't know. I don't know if I got it. I'm like, did you make bad jokes? Because he's notorious for making really bad jokes. He's sometimes not very funny, but he thinks he's funny. So I'm like, did you make bad jokes? He's like, I don't know. And then I woke up, why would I want my husband to get a job at Walmart?
You did have a rough day yesterday. Too much beer is what I think.
I think so. Terrible.
Well,
I can't believe I forgot that.
And then I will be flying to Philadelphia for the American Equestrian Trade Association on Friday, but Jamie and Jennifer will be here, and we will be doing really bad ads. Jennifer will be filling in for me. The prize this week for the EquityMFG.com Really Bad Ads prize is The Horse Lover, A Cowboy's Quest to Save the Wild Mustangs by H. Allen Day. That's the book, so that'll be the prize. Plus, we'll be drawing for the first of the Flex and Fork monthly prizes. So actually, Joseph's wife will be stopping by from EquityMFG.com, and everybody that submitted an ad this month is put on a list. She's going to pick a number, and that person will win a Flex and Fork. That'll all be happening on Friday's show. We have Elisa Wallace here on Friday, So you guys are going to have a lot of fun without me, and then I'll be back next Monday live from the American Equestrian Trade Association. Lots going on here this week at Horses in the Morning. Good luck, Jamie.
Thank you, you guys. Have a great day. Spay, neuter, geld. I'm going to go get another beer.
We're drinking really early. Hey, you'll get a discount if he's the manager of Walmart on beer.
We might. Good deal.